thing is to finish what will happen in the millennium on the earth, and then look at partway what's to be happening. We're not on the earth. We're going to be in the glory. We will come down with the Lord when he comes down to put things in order, and then we will return. We will not spend the millennium on the earth. We will return, be with the Lord to reign over the earth, but the distance will be far different than what it is now. It'll be visible from the earth. And so we looked at some things, ended last time with the situation with Jerusalem and with Jerusalem and in Israel, the changes in the world, the changes in animals, the changes in plants, and that sort of thing. And so so we'll go on from there. Israel, there's just a map pulled out, and a map now, and you can see, try to with a pointer point out where Jerusalem is. It's where the red dot is on the map. It's quite mountainous, so it's quite hilly. It doesn't mean it's high mountains, but it's anything but a flat city. That's going to change. It's going to be on a reconstructed, large, elevated plain. And it's interesting, the verses on the right side, Jeremiah chapter 18, this is what the people were saying against Jeremiah. Then said they, come and let us devise devices against Jeremiah, for the law shall not perish from the priest, nor counsel from the wise. Another word from the prophet, come and let us smite him with the tongue, and let us not give heed to any of his words. Give heed, O Lord, and hearken unto the voice of them that contend with me. Shall evil be recompensed for good? For they have digged a pit for my soul. Remember that I stood before thee to speak good for them and to turn away thy wrath from them. Therefore, deliver up their children to the famine and pour out their blood by the force of the sword, and let their wives be bereaved of their children and be widows, and let their men be put to death, let their young men be slain by the sword in battle. Let a cry be heard from their houses when thou shalt bring troops suddenly upon them, for they have digged a pit to take me and hid snares for my feet. When you see the type of prayers there were in the Old Testament, things were different. And if we don't distinguish that from what we have in the day of grace, there's going to be tremendous confusion. They were going against Jeremiah, and Jeremiah's prayer was not exactly one of, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. But it was more to bring vengeance on them. And so they suffered at that time. Well, there is going to be, after the day of grace is over and we're in the glory, there is going to be vengeance taken against those who've opposed. Just like the Jews that are restored to the land, prophecy teaches that two-thirds of them will be killed. One-third will enter into the millennium and enter into eternity as part of the blessed eternal people. But this area is going to change dramatically. Zechariah chapter 14, 10 and 11. All the land shall be turned into a plain from Geba to Rimmon. I tried to look it up. The best I can tell is it would be a distance of maybe 40 miles from north of Jerusalem to south of Jerusalem, but I'm not clear from the different sources that I tried to look up. So 40 miles would be what, 64 kilometers about. But whatever, it's going to change dramatically the topography. It shall be lifted up and inhabited in her place from Benjamin's gate unto the place of the first gate, unto the corner gate, and from the tower of Hananel unto the king's wine presses. And men shall dwell in it, and there shall be no more utter destruction, but Jerusalem shall be safely inhabited. And so the prayer of Jeremiah, there was judgment that took place then, is not what the eternal state is going to be in the millennium. There will be no more destruction after that. That will finish during the indignation battles, and then things are going to be reconstructed. So just get this pointer off for a minute, and okay. So Jerusalem in the millennium, several verses. saith the Lord God, this is Jerusalem. I have set it in the midst of the nations and the countries that are round about her. Ezekiel 5:5. It will be the capital of the world. Jeremiah 3:16-17. It shall come to pass, when you be multiplied and increased in the land, in those days, saith the Lord, they shall say no more, the ark of the covenant of the Lord, neither shall it come to mind, neither shall they remember it, neither shall they visit it, neither shall that be done any more. At that time they shall call Jerusalem the throne of the Lord, and all nations shall be gathered unto it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. Neither shall they walk any more after the imagination of their evil heart. It's interesting when you think about it, because the ark was an essential part of the tabernacle in the wilderness, the temple that was built by Solomon was an essential part. I'm sure that when the temple is rebuilt for the tribulation, but in a sense in unbelief, there will have an Ark of a Covenant in it. But the temple that will be in Jerusalem for not only the millennium, but for eternity, won't even have an ark, because the Lord himself will be there. Some verses that are not on the screen, but I'd like to take a minute and read them. Ezekiel chapter 43, verses 4 and on. It said, and the glory of the Lord came into the house by way of the gate, whose prospect is toward the east. So we know that you're getting some of the things that are going to happen in the millennium and on, starting with like chapter 40 of Ezekiel. And behold, the glory of the Lord of Israel came from the way of the east, and his voice was like the noise of many waters, and the earth shineth with his glory. And it was according to the appearance of the vision which I saw. Sorry. Verse 5. So the Spirit took me up and brought me into the inner court, and behold, the glory of the Lord filled the house. Shekinah glory. And I heard him speaking unto me in the house, and the man stood by me, and he said unto me, Son of man, the place of my throne, the place of the soles of my feet, for I will dwell in the midst of the children of Israel, how long? Forever. In my holy name shall the house of Israel no more defile, neither they nor their kings by their whoredom, nor by the carcasses of their kings in their high places. And so this temple that will be there, will be there not only for the millennium, but will be there, I understand from this verse, for eternity. The going to that temple will not be limited to the Gentiles. Verse 1 of Isaiah 52, awake, awake, put thy strength, O Zion, put on thy beautiful garments, O Jerusalem, the holy city, for henceforth there shall be no more come into thee the uncircumcised and the unclean. From various sources, including these verses, there will be no one from the two, Judah, or 10 Israel tribes, now united, that will be entering in the millennium and in eternity, that will be unbelievers. All the unbelievers that will be on earth for that time on will be Gentiles, and they'll be cut off, could be cut off any morning or judged at the end of the millennium. They won't enter into eternity. But at Isaiah chapter 60, 21, thy people also shall be all righteous. They shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. So it'll be a city with only just people, with only people with real faith in that time. In the world during the tribulation, and that's a mistake I've got on the slide, I will correct it. It should be the world during the millennium. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 26, and I will restore the judges at the first, my counselors is at the beginning, afterward they shall be, thou shall be called the city of righteous, the faithful city. And so Israel will be in a position to judge the rest of the world. Israel's a country now that many, many countries surrounding it would love to wipe off the map, because they don't recognize it, they're enemies of it. Ezekiel chapter 45, 9 and 10. Thus saith the Lord God, let it suffice you, O princes of Israel, remove violence and spoil, and execute judgment and justice. Take away your exactions from my people, saith the Lord God. You shall have just balances and a just thief and a just bath. And so there won't be violence during the millennium. There will not be allowed corruption during the millennium. Two things that are so common in 2020 will be taken away, and they'll be even worse during the tribulation. But in the millennium, I'm sorry about the mistake on the slide, they'll be gone. Isaiah chapter 60, 16 and 17. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles and suck the beast of kings, and thou shalt know that I the Lord am thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the mighty one of Jacob. For brass will I bring gold, and for iron I will bring silver, and for wood brass, and for stones iron, I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteous. And so there will be taxes. The Gentiles will pay them, but they will not be unjust taxes. There will not be the difficulties there are with the tax departments of different countries, where some people escape what they should pay. In other cases, there is unjust things that are done by the governments, but that will change. And it says officers peace. And so we get on to the next thing in Isaiah chapter 19, 24 and 25. And the man shall be the peace when the Assyrian shall come in our land, when he shall tread in our palaces, then we will raise up against him seven shepherds. And that day Israel shall be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, my inheritance. Three key countries during the millennium. Israel, of course, finally God's chosen people, will be acting as they should be acting in faith. Egypt will be blessed. Egypt was where Moses was hidden. Egypt was where the children of Israel went as a child to save him from the attempt on his life because of those of his age. And so he was raised in Pharaoh's house. Egypt was where, under Joseph and for some centuries, Israel, until their time ran out and they returned to take the promised land. That's where they resided. Egypt was where Joseph and Mary took the Lord Jesus as a baby. And so it was a hiding place for some of his people. It's going to be blessed, going to go through very difficult times, the country, before that happens. But in the millennium, it will be blessed. Assyria, the countries to the north and east of Israel that have often been used as in God's hand to deal with Israel and their unbelief. And so on the other side, they will also be blessed. Well, the verses that talk about a highway that's going to connect the three, Egypt, Assyria, and Israel. It's interesting that the number one mentioned country in the Bible is Israel, number two, Judah, number three, with I think over 600 references, is actually Egypt. The Gentiles during the millennium, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 5 to 7. Then thou shalt see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. The multitude of camels shall cover thee. The dromedaries of Midian and Ephah, all they from Sheba shall come. Sheba is probably Ethiopia. They shall bring gold and incense. They shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee. The rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. And they shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. What's going to happen? The Gentiles will pay tribute. They will recognize the position of Israel. There will be a recognition. They will have access to the temple. Some of them will be involved in the building of the temple. Totally unlike if you said to a Jew today that there are going to be Gentiles involved in the construction of the temple, they would be horrified. But those things are going to change when there's a change of heart. And then it goes on in verses 9 and 10 of the same chapter. Surely the isles shall wait for thee, the ships of Tarshish, first to bring thy sons from afar, their silver and gold with them under the name of the Lord thy God, to the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. And the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee. For in my wrath I smote thee, but in my favor have I had mercy on thee. And so the sons of strangers will be involved in these construction things that are going to take place in the rebuilding of Jerusalem and the temple. And it says, Isaiah 13 and 14, and it shall be as a chaste roe, and as a sheep that hath that no man taketh up, they shall every man turn to his own people and flee every one unto his own land. And so there's going to be a reverse of the melting pots that have existed. We know that the countries in the West, Western Europe, the Americas, will be the hardest hit by the judgments that will take place, because this has been the part of the world that's had the greatest light in recent times. But there's going to be a reversal. People will go back to their own lands. There will be the unmelting pot, if we could put it that way. Jeremiah chapter 15, verses 15 and 16. Cut off the sword from Babylon and him that handleth the sickle in the time of harvest. For fear of the oppressing sword, they shall turn everyone to his own people and flee everyone to his own land. And so the Gentiles will be moving, just as there will be the movement of the Jews, the identified ones from the two tribes during the first part of the tribulation. At the end of the tribulation, when the Lord Jesus comes back, in a very short period of time, as we've seen before, the other 10 tribes, the people will be identified, who they are, where they are, and they will return to Israel. And so the 12 tribes will be back in the land. But the reverse of that is that the Gentile nations, the ones who survive, will be returning more to their own land. There will be, as I said, an unmelting pot. Highway between Africa and Asia. It says in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 11 and 12, and I will make all my mountains away, and highways shall be exalted. Behold, they shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west. And so those are easy to identify, and these from the land of Sinem. It's felt that Sinem is a word indication of China. And so China will be one country, massive population, but less hit by the things. And it's probably the country in the world now with the second largest number of true believers, even in spite of all the persecution. Isaiah chapter 11, verse 16, there shall be a highway for the remnant of his people, which shall be left from Assyria like it was to Israel the day that he came up out of the land of Egypt. And then in Isaiah 19, 23 to 25, and that day shall there be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and the Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. And that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt, my people, and Assyria, the work of my hands, and Israel, mine inheritance. And so just a reminder that things are going to change very dramatically. If you can imagine the countries that want Israel wiped off the map, like Iraq, Syria, and things that ones are, those areas that will compose Assyria, and Egypt, which has been in some many ways more friendly to Israel, but there's going to be a connection between the three countries. Things are going to change dramatically after the Lord sets things in order. Europe and the Americas, it's where most of us who are connected are residing. Just quite simply, got a verse on the left-hand side, Luke 12:48, for unto whomsoever much is given of him shall be much required, and to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. There's really no excuse for anyone in Western Europe or the Americas to not have an opportunity to hear the gospel. There are people in countries like India, in China, that do not have the same opportunities. People in Muslim countries where access to the Bible is much more limited, where there's not the same opportunities, are going to be less responsible than those of us who live in the Western part of the world. Isaiah chapter 13, 11 and 12, I will punish the world for their evil and the wicked for their iniquity, and I will cause the arrogancy of the proud to cease, and will lay low the haughtiness of the terrible. I will make a man more precious than fine gold, even a man that hath the golden wedge of Ophir. And so, where there's more light, there's more responsibility. God is going to deal where there's been opportunities, but he does have a man, his own beloved son. was more precious than fine gold. Jeremiah chapter 50, verse 3, for out of the north there cometh up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove, they shall depart, both man and beast. And then Jeremiah chapter 50 goes on in the same chapter, 39 and 40. Therefore the wild beast of the deserts with the wild beast of the islands shall dwell there, and the owls shall dwell therein, and it shall be no more inhabited forever. Neither shall it be dwelt in from generation to generation. As God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah and the neighboring cities thereof, saith the Lord, so shall no man abide there, neither shall any son of man dwell there. And then the next chapter, verse 43, your cities are a desolation, a dry land and a wilderness, a land wherein no man dwelleth, neither doth any son of man pass thereby. So when you see this in the context, it seems to be the cities of the West. And so you think of these world famous, renowned cities, the Parises, the Madrids, the Londons, etc. And the ones perhaps in the Americas too, the New Yorks, etc., the Sao Paulos, the Rios, etc., Mexico City. These cities, perhaps the indication is they're going to be practically abandoned, limited population. The harvest judgment's going to take many people out before the millennium. And so there's such a pride in so many ways of advancement and economics and everything else in the West. God's going to deal with that. The Lord will come with us, and the first ones he will deal with directly is the Western Confederation, where there's more light, there's more responsibility. And I say to those of us who are connected today, we have a privilege, many of us growing up in Christian homes, but whatever way to have access to the truth of the Word of God, I've got a lot of responsibility. I say to myself, what am I doing with the light that's been given to me? The Jews have had the responsibility. They said and answered all the people and said, his blood be on us and on our children, Matthew 27, 25. Very brash declaration. It has never justified the hands that have gone against the Jews. Each one has to respond for that. But in a sense, they also have responsibility because they took that position, a very dangerous position. But in Zephaniah chapter 3, verses 18 and 20, I will gather them that are sorrowful for the solemn assembly or of thee, to whom the reproach of it was a burden. Behold, that time I will undo all that afflict thee, and I will save her that halteth and gather her that was driven out. And I will give them praise and fame and gather her in every land where they have been put to shame. That time I will bring you again, even at the time I will gather you, for I will make you a name and a praise among all the people of the earth when I turn back your captivity, saith the Lord. And Zechariah 8:20-23. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, it shall yet come to pass that there shall come people and the inhabitants of many cities. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, let us go speedily to pray before the Lord and to seek the Lord of hosts. I will go also, yea, many people and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Israel, in Jerusalem, and to pray before the Lord. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, in those days it shall come to pass that 10 men shall take hold out of all languages of the nations, even shall take hold of the skirt of him that is a Jew, saying, we will go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. Isaiah 61:9, and their seed shall be known among the Gentiles, their offspring among all the people. All that shall see them shall acknowledge them, for they are the seed which the Lord hath blessed. People will be, as we've said multiple times, brought to the land. All the afflictions, the undoing of what they said, his blood be on us and on our children, will take place at that time. There will be no more pressure on them. The Lord will be here to defend them. There will be no unfaithful entering the millennium or the eternal state on earth. all will be cast into the lake of fire. And there'll be a testimony before the Jews. The praise and renown will go to Israel, which is a country that will swell in population, will swell in size, because it's going to go from the Mediterranean Sea to the Euphrates River. I don't know how much bigger that would make it, but it's a very, very large expansion. It'll need to be because of the number of people that will be in the land. The nations will bring riches to Israel, not only those who've returned from different places. And so when we go to the time in which we live, we live in a time where I strongly feel the world is lacking real leadership. I just read something today. President John Adams, I think, was in the year 1800 in the United States when a new presidential White House, I think it may have been one to burn down later, but was built, and he had inscribed, wrote a letter to his wife, and it was inscribed in the current White House by some of the later presidents, Roosevelt and Kennedy. And it basically said, "May God bless this place. May those who occupy it after us work with honesty and integrity and justice." We see in a world now that there's a tremendous lack of leadership, tremendous lack of honesty and justice in many of the rulers in the world. And there's often blame placed on them. It does not alleviate them from their responsibility before God. The powers that be ordained of God, they have a responsibility to govern under that. But that's not the only problem. The problem is in the hearts of each one of us, apart from work of the Spirit of God. 1,000 years, no poverty. Everyone's going to have what they need. No sickness. There will be no need for doctors during the millennium. There will be no violence. That's going to be controlled. There will not be corruption from the side of officials, businesses, whatever. That's not going to be allowed. Satan will be bound during that time, so no one can say, as people say, the devil made me do it. There's not going to be the world system, which attracts our flesh, because it's not going to be present in that time. It's going to be under the righteous rule of the Lord Jesus Christ and those underneath him. So the only influence that will exist that's going to be negative is going to be in the flesh. And it's going to be among faking Gentiles, ones who feign obedience because they don't want to have problems. But after 1,000 years of what people say, this is what we want. If some leader could come in, give what there is during the millennium and run for re-election, he or she would have a very easy time probably to be re-elected in most places. What's going to happen? Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 to 10. When 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of the prison and shall go out to deceive the nations which are on the four corners of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle. The number of whom is as the sand of the sea, and when they went up to the breadth of the earth, encompassed this camp of the saints about, and the beloved city, and fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. The beast and false prophet will be cast into the lake of fire. Time near the end of the tribulation, Satan shortly after. He will be the only one of the three of the false imitation trinity, if I can put it in those terms, because that's how Satan works, that will be released, but it'll be for a short time, and it'll be amazing the number of people that have been faking it. No excuse, no external excuse, because there will not be external negative influences. No excuse because of unfair distribution, because of the things that there are now. It's just what comes from inside the heart. And that's what our hearts are, apart from work of the Spirit of God. And so The key thing to recognize today is the key problem is not limited to some specific group of people who are in power, whatever. The key problem today is men's heart. And so there are references, and we won't see all of them, but in 2 Peter chapter 3, 10 to 12, but the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Very important to not confuse that with the rapture. The rapture is never presented as the Lord coming as a thief in the night. A man doesn't come to take his bride as a thief in the night if he's doing things properly, and the Lord always does things in a right way. When he comes as a thief in the night, it's for judgment, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat, and the earth also and the works that are in them shall be burned up. Seeing then that these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hastening unto the day, the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. And so it refers to the times in the tribulation. It refers to the Lord taking vengeance after his manifestation, things that will take place at the millennium, where there's prophecies in Joel that are repeated in Acts. The final destruction will take place here. There's two times where it talks about new heavens and new earth. In Isaiah, it's what will take place at the start of the millennium, when there will be a cleaning up, if we can put it in those terms, of the effects of sin, but it will not be a complete replacement of the elements. In the end of the millennium, to start the eternal state, to start the day of God, it will be a replacement of the elements in most places. I can't believe there's going to be a replacement in heaven and different things or in people, but it certainly will be a time where all effects, all sin, all effects of sin will be confined into the lake of fire, the day of the Lord. But the day of God is what's going to be introduced. And so the final judgment, the second resurrection, it says, John chapter 5, verse 29, and it shall come forth that they which have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. And so the graves will all be emptied. No one will stay in a grave. The cemeteries will be emptied. And the bodies that have sat there, if someone dies today in Christ, that's when their body will be resurrected. No, excuse me. They'll be those bodies will be resurrected at the rapture for sure. But the second resurrection is different. Make that clear. Acts 24:15, and have hope toward God that they themselves also allow that there shall be a resurrection of the dead, both of the just and the unjust. So those who have died without Christ will be raised for eternal judgment to face the Lord at the great white throne. For God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into the chains of darkness, to be reserved unto judgment, 2 Peter 2 and 4. The angels which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he has reserved in everlasting chains under darkness, unto the judgment of that great day, Jude 1 to 6. And then the judgment that will take place, Revelation chapter 20, 11 to 15. The rapture, the graves will be emptied of the believers. The ones who die during the millennium that are believers will be the end of the first resurrection, the martyrs. The unbelieving will be reserved. Their soul and spirit will be in hell, their body in the grave, to be united, as we read in Revelation 20, 11 to 15. I saw a great... God says in the mouth of two or three witnesses, two books, looking for the name of the book of life. If it's not there and the sins are still recorded in the other book, then the person will be condemned for eternity. And so body reunited with soul and spirit cast into the lake of fire. There's no annihilation. Fallen angels judge forever. The human beings have died without Christ. And some have asked the question, well, what would happen if someone would repent and believe when the lake of fire will never happen? Because it says the goodness of God in Romans 2 leads to repentance. Lake of fire is where God's goodness does not reach. It's the one place in the universe. So what we will do now for the little bit of time we have left is we'll switch, go to the millennium on the earth. The millennium in heaven. And so parallel, can you see it? You can. Okay. So the distinction is, we are going to be this whole time, after a brief time at the beginning of it, when the Lord comes to set things right, we will be back in heaven. The distance will be removed that there is between heaven and earth, because we will be reigning, it doesn't say on the earth, but over the earth. So there's a very close connection, but it is a separation. So the tribulation's taken place, 1,000 years of the millennium. See, it's misspelled, and then the eternal state. In just a thought, as we start in this, a couple of things. One is, when we go through what will happen in the millennium for the church, for those from the Old Testament, and then the eternal state, you're going to find that the references are from the New Testament. Just as the things for the church were hidden in the Old Testament, they were only figures, never direct teaching about the church in the Old Testament. The teaching for a heavenly people, ourselves, is basically confined to the New Testament. We have one of the reasons to go through these things, and thank you for your tremendous patience, is if we really believe what we read in the Word of God, it should influence our daily lives, and it should also, not only for our individual lives, but cause us to open our hearts, our mouths, to share it with other people. 2 Corinthians 5:11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. For we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also made manifest to your consciences, in your consciences. One of the things that I believe is left out in many places in the preaching of the gospel is the terror of the Lord. It's wonderful to preach that God is love. It's also important to teach that God is light. What is revealed in his light, which is perfect, has to be judged. Thankfully, those of us who know the Lord Jesus realize that the judgment fell on him when he took our place, bearing our sins on Calvary's cross. But he is coming to judge the world. He will set things in right, in proper order. Titus chapter 2, 11 to 14. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Important to remember that we will not be spending the tribulation on the earth. We will be taken out before. There will be a brief period and then a pact signed between Israel and the Western Confederacy. Under the false one, the religions are going to be concentrated in Rome. If someone said that the blessed hope is to go through the tribulation, it wouldn't make sense. God's going to take us out before that. We will come back for a limited, measured amount of time with Christ after the events of the judgment seat of Christ, the marriage of the Lamb, the marriage supper of the Lamb, and the glory, when the Lord comes to reign, to put things in order on the earth, and then we will reign over the earth. That's our hope, is being taken home. The glory is appearing, is when he will be seen by every eye. And so how important, we when we look at these things, that it should have an effect on our lives, because we know what's coming up. If someone said your hope is to go through 7 years of tribulation, I'd say, no thanks. It doesn't sound like much of a hope to me. Our sure hope is to be raptured before that all takes place. We will be in the kingdom of the Father. The Lord will reign from heaven, and he'll be the kingdom of the Son on the earth. But in Matthew 13:43, then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of their Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. God's a spirit, has never taken, will not take a body. It's interesting, if you go to Jerusalem by the Garden of Gethsemane, there's a, I think it's Greek Orthodox, but I'm not sure, there's a mosaic on the front of it, supposedly representing the Father having a body. He will not have a body. We will have communion with our Father in the glory, but he is a spirit. So there will be not a lack of communion, but we'll never see him physically. But I say unto you in Matthew 26:29, I will not drink henceforth of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. And so I don't want to push this, but sometimes someone has said, will there be anything we will eat or drink in the glory? We won't need it for our bodies, but maybe here's a verse that shows that maybe there will be that. Not to spiritualize it. Daniel 7:13-14. I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven, and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. There was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall be not be destroyed. So we will reign from heaven, from the heavenly Jerusalem, with Christ over the earth, from the kingdom of the Father. It's an eternal time. We'll be in the new Jerusalem. It's a long series of verses, but I think it's worth reading to, as I said, instead of just talking about things, the ideas that we do, try to read through them. And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. So here, we'll stop there for a minute. In eternity, and during the millennium, things will be different. The sea will be removed. If you could think now in 2020 with the enmity there is between different countries, between different people of different religions, if they could access, go from one place to another by land, they would, in many cases. There will be no more salt water, no more sea. Those divisions will be taken away, the things that separate. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven, prepared as a bride for her husband. And so it never says that the New Jerusalem lands on earth. The New Jerusalem here, distinct from the Jerusalem, the rebuilt Jerusalem that will be in Israel, this is the holy city with the bride of Christ. And I, and in a sense, as we saw before, she will say, Ishi, my husband. I heard, verse 3, and I heard great voices out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. He will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God shall be with them and be their God. And so the Lord himself will be there visible, so it won't need the Ark of the Covenant in the millennial and the eternal temple. Verse 4, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall be there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And so no one will be in heaven and in Jerusalem sensing the separation, the lack of being present of loved ones. Right now we do care. It's not that the care would be taken away, but God's not going to spoil our joy, our happiness in the glory by the reminder of those who've rejected the gospel and are not with us. And no more pain, no more of these difficulties. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." For he said unto me, "Write, for these words are faithful and true." And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." So these things, this is going to be eternity. Part of these things are going to be true and seen during the millennium, but this is eternity because there's going to be a new heaven, new earth. The beginning and the end, I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water freely. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I will be his God and he shall be my son. But the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Important verse to sometimes share in the gospel because someone says, "I'm not that bad. I'm not a murderer. I'm not an idolater. I'm not abominable." But look at the first two, fearful and unbelieving, and the last one, liars. The fatal sin is to be unbelieving in the end. What's their part? Shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That's eternal. Those who are born twice, die zero times, or maybe one time maximum. Those who die, who go without Christ, will die two times. The second death does not mean annihilation. It means eternal separation from God in the lake of fire. Verse 9, "And there came unto me one of the seven angels, which had the seven vials full of seven last plagues, and talked unto me, and saying, Come up hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. He carried me away in the spirit to the great and high mountain, showed me the great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God, and her light was like unto the stone was precious, even a jasper stone, clear as crystal. And a wall great and high, and at 12 gates, and at the 12 gates, 12 angels, and names written thereon. These are the names of the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. On the east, 3 gates, on the north, 3 gates, on the south, 3 gates, and on the west, 3 gates, and the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and in them the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb." So it's felt that this verse is one of the indications that even though there is a heavenly and an earthly people, there will be access to heaven by the those from the 12 tribes that are the believers. Descend from heaven, nothing unclean, all sadness taken away. It won't have to be remade at the end of the millennium, so different from the vast part of the creation, all sadness taken away. God wants us and dwells with us. And because of those, the 12 apostles, they will be the ones ruling over the earth during the millennium. One of the reasons perhaps Judas was replaced, because there will need to be someone ruling over each of the 12 tribes. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?" So it talks about it too as a place for overcomers, and it doesn't mean an overcomer is limited to those who've gone through unusual difficulties such as martyrs, those who've been heavily persecuted. A believer alone is the first stage of being an overcomer. So during the millennium and during eternity, that's where our place will be. Characteristics of the New Jerusalem, and maybe we'll finish with this slide for today. In Revelation 21, 15 to 23, "And he that talketh with me had a golden reed to measure the city, and the gates thereof, and the wall thereof, and the city lieth foursquare, and the length is as large as the breadth. He measured the city with a reed, 12,000 furlongs. The length and the breadth and the height of it are equal. And he measured the wall thereof, 144 cubits, according to the measure of a man, that is of an angel. And the building of the wall was of jasper, and the city was pure gold, like unto clear glass. And the foundations of the wall of the city were garnished with all manner of precious stones. The first foundation was jasper, the second sapphire, the third chalcedony, the fourth an emerald, the fifth sardonyx, the sixth sardius, the seventh chrysolite, the eighth beryl, the ninth the topaz, the tenth chrysoprasus, the 11th jacinth, the 12th an amethyst, and the 12 gates were like 12 pearls. Every several gate was of one pearl, and the street of the city was pure gold, as it were transparent glass. And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb were the temple of it. The city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. Imagine just the Lord will be able to see him in all his glory. His moral glory was shown out when he was on earth. But when we're with him in heaven, in New Jerusalem, is illuminating from his very body will be the light that will illuminate. 24, there will be no days or anything. It'll be one eternal day in the end, and eternity. What a change. No evil there. No attacks during the millennium. There will be nothing to attack during the eternity, and we know that during them, even the millennium, Satan, the false beast, the Antichrist are confined to the lake of fire. And during the millennium, the church participating in the government of the world. The pearls, just a reminder that we're the pearl of great price that Christ purchased and he gave himself. The things are fixed with pure holiness and with the Lord in the glory. Well, there will be no need of even a temple. We know that on earth, a temple won't have certain things like the Ark of the Covenant. And so we'll just stop there for the time, maybe pray now.